Good morning. Most of us, I would guess, have had times in our lives when we've been shocked by something. In fact, I would guess all of us have. Whether it be on the news, like recently when an earth dam burst and the water came down and it essentially wiped out the greater part of a community, or so many other things that you can think of on the news. Or maybe it was something personal, a personal grief that we have about a situation or about someone passing or something like that. And we might say, well, that's life. And to a large degree, that's true. It is life. That's what happens in life. And there's good things that happen too, but so do things that upset us. But have you ever thought personally that your life was in danger? Now, I wouldn't assume that none of you have. Maybe that's something that you have had in your life. You know, maybe it's a car driving the opposite way that you are, they start to cross the yellow line and you look like you might hit this person. The last minute they swerve and you're okay, or something like that. But for most of us, maybe we could say we haven't had that, I don't know. But when it comes to Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites, well, they were shocked and they thought that they were about to be slaughtered. And of course, it's when they had come to the Red Sea, wasn't it? It was a very, very tense time. And some of my quotes are NIV, the rest are King James. This one happens to be NIV, but it says, the Egyptians, Pharaoh's men, or it could have said just Pharaoh, but it doesn't. It tells us four things. It says, Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, and his troops. So it gives us a graphic picture of what this would have looked like. It makes it a little easier for us to perhaps try to put ourselves in their position. And it goes on to say that those troops pursued the Israelites and overtook them and camped at the Sea of Pi-Hahiroth opposite Baal Zephon. And it's the state of the Israelites. Well, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching towards them. And then it has three words. They were terrified. Absolutely terrified. And they cried out to the Lord. And you think, that's the right place to go. So far, so good. But then the next few words are discordant with that. They say to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? And what did they do? What have you done, Moses? What did you do? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? In essence, what do you think they're saying? To me, it seems to be, well, Moses, who is this God of yours who wants to slaughter us? And then they say to Moses, we told you to leave us alone. What have you done? And if you were Moses, what would you have said? I don't know what I would have said. But Moses could have lectured them and say, you faithless people, ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. But he didn't do that. What did Moses say? Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And then he goes on to say, the Egyptians that you see today, you're never going to see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. In other words, you need faith. You need to think beyond your capabilities. You need to think, and he isn't saying this, of course, of what happened in Egypt. Because he's saying, Moses is saying that it isn't you that have to fight. It's God, and he'll work in your life. You need to trust your life to God. And I would guess, maybe some of you have been in that situation where you've been really scared. And something shocks us. Something that brings us back to the reality of just how frail every one of us is. Because so much of the time it seems to be going on quite normally, and then bam, all of a sudden you start thinking about just how that doesn't happen by chance. Now that brings us back to the faith that either we have or the faith that we don't have. What was told to Israel? Don't be afraid, right? But isn't that every one of us? Every one of us is afraid at some times. We get afraid. It's part, it seems, of our nature. We are trying to learn to place our trust in God, to believe in him, that he is there and that he works in our lives. We're trying to do that, but we still get afraid. It's part of the human condition, I think. But perhaps at that time, when our faith is not at full strength, sometimes God uses somebody to uplift us, to be there for us, to say the word that we need to hear. He doesn't leave us hanging, in other words. Whether it's that or something else, we have to trust that God really is there, don't we? Now put yourself again in the position of the Israelites. What would we have done when we saw this huge army behind us? When we know we don't have a chance if it comes to a physical battle. Would we keep our fears inside and try to trust, or would we have joined those who spoke out in utter dismay and fear at the sight of these people? And you're not just thinking for yourself, perhaps. You're thinking of your loved ones, your children, and all that. You're thinking of everything that you know of being taken from you. But Moses says, trust, essentially. What had the Jews seen so far? Well, they had a reason why trusting God could work, because they at least knew of the plagues that went on in Egypt, and they knew definitely of the one of the firstborn. Because if they didn't put the blood on the lintel and doorpost, their sons, their firstborn, would die. So they remembered that for sure. They had reason to believe that God can miraculously work in people's lives. They had seen it. They were protected. They were cared for. But now on the edge of the Red Sea, the situation seemed hopeless. And humanly speaking, it probably was. But as I said, unfortunately, it wasn't just Pharaoh who had hardened his heart and sent the troops. Now Israel had hardened their hearts. But in essence, they were now saying to Moses, well, you saved us from the plagues, in my words. You brought us this far, but. And what did they say to him? They said this. They said, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Which sounds pretty much to me like, we give up. What have you done, Moses? The people were willing to accept God's hand leaving Egypt, but they certainly weren't willing to accept God's hand could save them now, because they could see the Egyptian army. It was visible. It was something they couldn't see just poof going away. And everything seems more real when we are personally facing a threatening problem that we can physically see, whatever that problem is. It's much more difficult. But Moses answered them. But what did he answer them with? He answered them with the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He answered them in faith, 100% faith. But not just faith, but also on precedence, because he and Aaron had gone to Pharaoh 10 times, and he had seen the power of God when the plagues fell upon the Egyptians and not on the Israelites. And everything that God said he would do, he did. And he saw it physically. His eyes had seen it. And Moses was in a position where the people were looking to him. So he answered based on that faith. He trusted. He really did. And this is one of the major consistencies in Scripture, that God always does what he says he's going to do. And Moses believed that, and he did that at this time. And I would suggest that God doing what he says he will do is something that every one of us have to take on in a personal manner. It has to be what I believe, and I'm saying that for each one of you. This is something we bring on board. It's not something we observe in other people. Oh, you do, but it can't stop there. It's something that we take on board. The Israelites, on the other hand, generally speaking, didn't have this strength. We have to choose to believe. Life is the time to serve the Lord, we sang just a few minutes ago. And it is. And it's the time to serve the Lord, because when we're dead, there's nothing left to do. We can't change anything, but we have the ability to reformat what we're doing, what we're thinking, to God's way right now, don't we? So, how had this people left Egypt? Because that's interesting. Remember, they're still standing on the west side of the Red Sea. Because when they left Egypt, in Ezekiel 13, it says something rather interesting. It says, the Israelites went out of Egypt. And how did they go out? Do you remember? Armed for battle. That's what it says in Exodus 13, verse 18. But then in Exodus 14, 10, and I'm not suggesting that's immediately after, but it follows. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. So it appears they saw who? Well, they didn't see God in this particularly, but they did see Moses, and Moses had to do something. What did Moses do? Moses did what we need to do in times of uncertainty. Regardless of the problem that's before us, Moses trusted God, as we must. And we know at times in our lives that that is more difficult at some times than others. It's an easy thing to say, but it's not an easy thing to do, is it? And situations, I think, in our lives are specifically designed for each one of us. And they're not designed, the way I see it, to make us fail. They're there for a better reason than that. That God wants to build us in faith to an answer of, yes, God really does work in my life if I allow his word to mold who I am, to become somebody who is listening, who follows God. And it's one of the ways every single one of us has to grow up. It doesn't matter how old we are, we never stop growing up. It's not like we reached a certain age and now we're growing up, because things affect us through our whole lives, and we all have to deal with them. And God knows what we can take and what we can't, and gives us, we may not feel it was appropriate, but God knows it is. And it's the way we are being asked to see things and to trust in him. So both, but it is really, really hard to do this. And it's a challenge for every one of us. And don't we need reinforcement from time to time? Of course we do. It's one of the things we gain from meeting as we do here, to encourage one another. And sometimes it's just a little nudge, and sometimes it has to be an awful lot more than a nudge. And the scenario here at the side of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's host there reminds me of another scenario. It's when Elisha was standing on the wall with the king of Israel, and they were both looking down and saw this immense Syrian army coming. And the king of Israel was no fool. He knew, hands down, that that army, it would only be a matter of a short period of time, and they would capture them. They would take them and they'd maybe slaughter them, whatever they were planning to do. He knew that this was a lost battle by looking at what was there. And you remember what Elisha said to him? He said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And in brackets, I'd put, you just can't see them. You can't see those angels. You can't see God's power physically until it is provided in front of us to see. And that's what he was asking for, wasn't it? It's a call to faith, isn't it? It's a call to faith to every single one of us. And we need to trust. And that sounds really easy, but it's not. Not when we're really pushed. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we may not. But it's the unseen and eternal, and that's why it's so difficult. It's not something we can quantify by looking at it and saying, oh, yes. But both Moses and Elisha, were both saying something like, don't be scared by what's in front of you, because there's more to it than what you see. And it's not easy to say, it's easy to say, but it's not easy to do, is it? Particularly when they're facing an obstacle. And it's interesting that both Moses and Elisha, they didn't say this problem isn't real. The problem was very, very real. But what they were saying is, you think it's your problem, but it's not your problem. God can handle this, and these are just my words. But God's power makes this a lot different than from what you can just see. They're not saying, are they not saying, stand in faith, regardless of what's in front of you? Because we never know what God's answer for us is going to be at any given juncture in our lives. But one way or another, whether in the present or at Christ's return, when we put our faith in God, we know this, and that is that we will be delivered by the Lord. When we do what? When we put our lives in His hands and obey Him. So back to the Red Sea for just a moment. There was no hesitation out of Moses. Moses did what God told him, and the water parted in front of them, and Israel followed Moses on dry ground to the other side. And the dry ground part is an interesting thing too, because that's a miracle in itself, but I'll leave that alone for the moment. When the Egyptians tried to follow Israel, we know what happened. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing from it, and it says, the Lord swept them into the sea, and the water flowed back and covered again the chariots, the horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. And just in case we didn't get it, not one of them survived. So what are we being told here? Aren't we being told there is total, absolutely total preservation of every single Israelite and total decimation, total annihilation of every single Egyptian that had followed them? It wasn't just a few, and some escaped. This one, it was darkness and light. It was a powerful event, and it had to be powerful for the Egyptians. For the Israelites. There was no other possible answer than God. No other possible answer. And what a testament to us too, isn't it? A massive life and death distinction between those who obeyed God and those who fought God, who challenged God. And you know what? Nothing has changed since that time or before that time. It's the same decisions that we make daily in 2019. Either we're trying to put our trust in God or we are choosing not to. So we move forward about 40 years to today's reading in Joshua. And once again, the Israelites are going to be crossing a body of water, the Jordan River. And once again, it's to be a crossing that is obviously by divine hand, because they see it, they experience it, they walk it, and they're in awe of this God that they serve. And maybe when they were doing this, maybe some of them would remember what they were either told or whatever from the account of crossing of the Red Sea, when they were all preserved. Because what? God parted the Red Sea. And now he had just, he didn't part the Jordan, he blocked it on one side, didn't he? And even that in itself is a miracle all by itself. Because if you have a body of water flowing down, and it says the Jordan was at flood stage, so there wasn't much of a bank left. But if you put a great big concrete wall, boom, right in front of the river, what would it do? Well, it would rise a little bit until it got high enough that it was either over the bank or over the ground around, and then it would just flow around the edges of that great big wall that you put there. In other words, however it was, and I have no idea, and I don't think any of us do, God made the water so it not only is blocked this way, but it was blocked on either side upstream, because it went for, I don't know how far it was. It says it went to Adam. And if you go from the Dead Sea to Adam, it's about 20 miles. So whatever it was probably several miles upstream. So you have this immense body of water, and it keeps rising, rising, and going all the way back up the river. The sides had to be somehow stopped from spilling over and coming down too. And not only that, but when the water is restored, they don't have a flash flood. It's not like just like a gate's lifted and whoosh, one great big tidal wave, because that's what it would have been. It's not a tidal wave because it's not tidal, but you know what I mean. That huge amount of water would all of a sudden whoosh, come down. It didn't, did it? Because it would have taken them out, because they were still close to the Jordan when the water was restored. So that too was a miracle. The immediate future of these Israelites would be a challenge for each one. But they had physical reminders as they remembered the Jordan. They had the 12 stones, which Joshua 4 verse 7 says was to be a memorial for the people forever. So they had that. They had this miraculous dam that they walked right past, that stopped the water. And then finally, the natural flow was restored orderly without any difficulty whatsoever. How could you not remember that? And this is probably something they would recount to future generations. The miracle of God's hand would not easily be forgotten. And it's an event that they could couple with their history, with the Red Sea scenario. What nation could attest to such miracles? Because this wasn't seen by five or six. Both of those accounts of the water parting at God's hand was witnessed by thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Do you think that would only last a generation of being handed down? No, I don't think so. This was something that was not going to go away, and nor was it supposed to. This hope God provided and cared for his people through Moses and Joshua on those two occasions. And God gave us his son, didn't he? That we might have hope. Isn't this the reason that you and I are here today? Because God has given us hope through His Son. Isn't it the reason that we too are offered this amazing hope because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we might have hope according to the plan of God? Because each one of us, we all have to be seeing with eyes of faith. We're also being told in today's second reading in Isaiah something that reinforces this. It tells us why that we can have the same faith. The faith that Moses had, the faith that Joshua had, and many others. What does our reading say? Our second reading today in Isaiah. What is the why? Why is because, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of this government and peace, there shall be no end. We are being exhorted to trust these words, just as Moses trusted God's word on the west side of the Red Sea, just as Joshua did everything that God said at that particular crossing. He obeyed God, and what happened? The Jordan River was stopped and piled up, in the words of the King James. So the people crossed on dry land. And just as Isaiah prophesied in our reading, that Jesus is what? The Prince of Peace. So that we can treasure what was done, that we might have life too. And now as we come to these emblems of the bread and wine, we remember again what Jesus told us. He told us to do this in remembrance of me. In our third reading today, it specifically reminds us of what was done. I mean, that's what we're coming to remember, isn't it? What was done and what we need to do to cross from certain death, like Israel thought they were looking at the Red Sea, to certain life that's promised through Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 to 11 say, "Let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Why? Because God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that what? So that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.